Thanks for tuning in to Faith Church Podcast. We're a church that believes in getting people connected, seeing families grow, and lives being changed. We hope that this message will speak to you today. It was all in our hearts, and I believe you're going to love it. Let's get to it.
Today, this morning, I'm so glad to see everybody who is just on fire for God, because they say that the weather outside is frightful. Puts me in the mood to shop. How many of you know these are the good bags? When I go shopping and I get to go to one of the good stores, I like to keep the bags. I do. But I will be honest with you, I don't really shop at these stores because I'm too cheap. I am. Like, have you ever tried to buy salt and pepper shakers in one of these places? They went like $100. I'm like, that's $4.99 at Walmart. But what I have figured out is that, like, Macy's and Saks and Neiman carry the same makeup at the same price. So when I want to feel fancy, I don't go to Macy's to buy my makeup. I go to one of the good stores. And I usually know that it's time for a fill-up when my good bags start looking raggedy. Because what I end up using these for is I end up using these to take my lunch to work. Does anybody else follow my neuroses? Oh yeah, oh yeah, I saw hands everywhere. If you're online right now, you better be hitting those hearts right this second, because, you know, this fits my little salad container. I can put a sandwich in it. I do orange fruit, my yogurt. I usually have yogurt and fruit for breakfast. I take it to work, and I have my cutie little bag, and I feel so fancy. And nobody ever wants to steal it. You know, I could leave these down here at the end of the service. Nothing in them. They're just completely empty. And nobody would steal them. Even though they're a really cool container, nobody would steal them because there's no contents. However, if I can speak girl for one moment, if there were some Christian Louboutins in these, in your size, guys are like, Christian Louboutin. All right, let's speak your language. Guys, if there was like a Ferragamo belt or some Gucci shoes or something that boys wear, if that was in the bag and it was your size and it was sitting on a park bench and there was nobody around, how many of you know the bags would disappear rather quickly in a vacated Central Park? But not because of the container. They would disappear because of the content. You guys remember that commercial? I forget who did it. They go, it's what's inside. Nobody remembers that commercial. Good. Good, because then I can lie to you about who it's about, Sears or JCPenney or Walmart. Somebody needs to Google it for me and save me right now. But there was a commercial campaign about it's what's inside. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. It says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Look at your neighbor right now. If you're online, I want you to type it in the chat. Everybody say, it's what's inside.
It's what's inside.
It's what's inside. You see, I had this friend. He started this business, and he was getting going, and it really wasn't working and grooving just yet. And he was going to this big meeting where they were going to sell off a piece of this company, and he wanted in on this action really bad, but he didn't have the reputation. He didn't know if they believed that he had the money. He could write the contract, but he knew they didn't know that he could back up the contract. So he went out of town, he went to this meeting, and as he walks into the meeting, he brings with him his Samsonite suitcase from the airport. Not a Louis Vuitton luggage, not Gucci luggage. He's going to a big meeting. $79.99 at TJ Maxx Samsonite suitcase. How many of you would not have taken that suitcase to that meeting? Say me. Really? Y'all would have taken the suitcase to the meeting? I'm going to ask you again. How many of you, if you were walking into this big meeting trying to impress people, you would not have tagged along your Samsonite? You would have left it at the hotel. Say me. But he brought it with him. And he goes in the meeting and everybody looks at him weird. And they go and they're trying to sell the company and they're talking about this competitor and that competitor and they're sitting around the table and they're trying to craft deals and they're trying to outdo each other and the price is going up to $10 million and $11 million and $12 million and $13 million and $14 million and $15 million. And finally, my friend just gets up from the conference table, gets his suitcase, puts it on the table, and unzips it. And how many of you know everybody was looking at him right about that time? Like, what are you doing, bro? And he said, I'm going to outbid all these fellas. I'm going to bid $16 million. And I know that y'all don't think that I have the currency to pull that off. So I just thought, and he opens up the suitcase and said, I would bring it with me. And inside of the suitcase was $16 million cash. How many of y'all know he didn't check that with Delta? Right? And I'm like, no, I'm taking that with me because they're going on check. They're just going on a plane with me. You see, it wasn't the $79.99 Samsonite suitcase that was so valuable. But once you knew what was in the suitcase, you see, it's not about the container, it's about the content. It's about the contents. It's about God, not us. You see, we get all tripped up when we look at us, but we got to talk about God. We got to talk about what he's doing, because a couple of weeks ago, we had a Sunday night service. By the way, now's a good time to let the cat out of the bag. We're not having church tomorrow morning. Snow's coming and y'all ain't gonna come to church. You're online right now going, I ain't coming to church. I'm gonna lay in my bed. I'm going to St. Mattress. So I'm going to St. Mattress. So instead, everybody say instead.
Instead.
At Earth City tomorrow night. At 6 o'clock. We're going to meet God. And he's going to move. Well, I don't know about that. I don't know. Should I drive 30 minutes? I mean, the snow is supposed to miss without at 1 o'clock and I'm going to church at 6 o'clock. You need to go to church at 6 o'clock. I mean, y'all are here, but I'm really talking to you who you're eating your French toast right now in your fuzzy slippers and you're halfway paying attention to me and you're halfway not, because I know what that's like, because I go to church online on Saturday nights when I'm in Florida while I'm doing my laundry. That's not real worship. You see, you flirt with the container, but you miss the contents. You miss the power of the magnification. And what is contained inside a service is so crazy, because a couple of weeks ago, now I'm not saying this is a revival. I'm saying God is going to do what God is going to do. I'm just saying we're showing up with expectation. But a couple of weeks ago, it was just a service. It was just a container. But the contents were so off the charts. That Ella was 16 years old.
Well, I don't even know if that really happened, because I saw that all those views on your Instagram and 1,255 comments, 600 of them didn't believe y'all.
Well, they don't have to believe me. Now, Ella lived with Ree, our worship pastor, all last summer. It's not like she's a stranger we don't know. We've got pictures of her last fall coming to the Rev Night in the wheelchair that she came out of. It's not like we didn't know the story.
Somebody said, well, wasn't her legs too atrophied to come out of the chair?
Well, absolutely her legs were too atrophied to come out of the chair. You see, the container was flawed, but you're missing the contents that was on the inside of her, that came on the outside of her, that produced the miracle, that went ahead and gave her a strength that her container did not have. And when what's on the inside comes on the outside, you just start moving and you can't help it, and things start happening. And then... we have Asher in jars of clay. So many stories, so little time. And we get to thinking, but what about me? I mean, what about my body? What about my past? What about what I was doing last night? If Pastor knew the site I was on my computer last night, I mean, I'm disqualified. No, 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in you. See, the container has problems. This container looks beat up already. The container has issues. You got issues. You know, it's true. That's a popular song, but you just don't recognize it because I was trying to sing it. We got issues, and we start thinking about us, and we start looking at us, and we have to stop despising the container, the sagging, the chest of drawers disease, where your chest used to be where your chest was, but now it fell to your drawers. That little trick that you use where you give yourself a facelift and cut up this much of the picture. If you're in your 30s, you don't know that yet. When you get older, you will thank me for it. You're welcome. The fact that you're not as smart as you wish you were, and that you're too outgoing and you say things you wish you hadn't, or you're too shy and you won't get out there and say the things you wish you had. Everybody's got a reason. Everybody's got these container issues. There's this story. It's historical. It's real. I'm not making this up. You can Google it. This guy's name is Ali Hafad. And Ali Hafad lived back in the 1800s. He lived in India. He farmed a farm. And he was doing all right. I mean, for a farmer, he had a house and he had food and he had stuff and it was going all right. But he heard these stories. We get to looking at other people's containers and we get to thinking they look so nice. And he heard these stories about these diamond fields and people finding these diamonds. And he wanted to really provide for his family. So he's like, I'm in India. Here I am. I need to sell the farm, put up my family, and go looking for these diamonds. So he starts looking all over India, and then he starts looking all over Europe, and then he starts finds himself all the way in Spain, and he's found no diamonds. He's out of money. He can't even get home. He's got no food. He's starving. He's depressed. So he writes a letter because he can afford a piece of paper, an envelope, and a stamp. And he writes to his family that he's not coming home because he can't take it anymore. And he's so sorry that he disappointed him. And he mails the letter, and he jumped off a cliff, and nobody ever saw him again. Because he didn't like his container. He didn't like where he was. He didn't like his spot. And there were these dreams that he had. So back home, the family gets the letter, and the new guy's farming the farm, but he's having trouble because there's these black rocks everywhere, and he keeps trying to plow the fields, but he's spending more time investing in this field than he thought he would because he's trying to move all the problems with the container. Probably why Ali went looking for diamonds in the first place. So one of the rocks was kind of pretty, and he put it up on his mantle, and it took a number of months, but the priest had gone around visiting people, and he finally made it to the new guy's house, and he comes in, and he's talking to him, and he's like, well, that's a particular pretty rock. He said, I know. I really kind of liked it, and I put it up there because every now and then, when you hold it up in the light, it kind of gives you this rainbow look. And he held it up for the priest, and the priest said, I'm not a specialist, and this isn't what I do, but I'm pretty sure that's not just a rock. I'm pretty sure that's a diamond in the rough. And he said, but I have piles of these black rocks all over my property. They've been the biggest problem of my life because they don't allow me to plow my field. They took the rock to a specialist, and in the late 1800s, that rock was worth $25,000 back in the day. He had mountains of these rocks, and it is now known as the Golconda Diamond Mines. Some of the most precious diamonds in all the world, the crown jewels in London, came from that field. You see, we keep despising the field that we have. We keep despising the place that we live. We keep despising the time that we're in. We keep despising where we live. We despise our education. We despise our opportunity. Quit despising your container and just let the contents flow out. it's not about the container, it's about the
context.
Come on, right now. Right now, I want comments on there. I want everybody typing out, it's not about the container, it's about the contents. I got to drill that into your head. You don't have it yet because the enemy, he's beating up on you. He's telling you everything that you're not. He's looking at your bad parts and he's magnifying your little bad parts and he's making them big. 2 Timothy 2 verse 20. 2 Timothy 2 verse 20, it says, but in a great house, they're not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of clay. Some for honor and some for dishonor. You see, when you go to a fancy house, they have these wine glasses and they're all fancy and you use a certain glass for the certain thing and you've got the fork with the fork and it's a doobie 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 doo and you're going to be fancy and you're going to figure it all out. And somebody once upon a time told me, work from the outside to the inside, and that's what I do. And then at the same house, they have a toilet. They have a potty, a porcelain throne. And if there's somebody sick in the house, they have a bedpan. So I have a recommendation for you. If they bring you the vessel of a bedpan and they put a fine wine in it, don't drink it. Vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. And we get to thinking, but my container, it's not a fancy Saks bag. My container is a Walmart grocery plastic bag and it's halfway ripped and the stuff starts coming out the bottom. My life isn't like this. My life is like that. So you see, you're a vessel of honor, but with me, it's a vessel of dishonor because I see all the flaws in me. I know what's happening. I mean, I know that I'm not supposed to look at them when they walk by, but oh, dang, it's fine when it walks by. And I know I'm a woman, but I look at porn. I had people coming to me by droves last week talking to me about this epidemic problem. Or maybe somebody else is like, I had a really bad week, so I drink. And I mean, not like a drink. I mean, I drink. I like pass out on it. I can't remember where I'm at. And then I know I'm not supposed to steal, but I can't get by if I don't. So I just take a little bit home from the company that I shouldn't. And I'm afraid that you don't know me, Pastor. I'm a vessel of dishonor. Well, once upon a time, there was a heroin addict who was falling asleep when their mama brought him to Faith Church, but now he's a worship leader. God doesn't worry about where you are today. He just worries about whether or not you're going to let him out. You see, we're so busy worrying about the human, we forget about the holy. We worry about the human, my problems, my money, no provision, I'm sick. No, it's the holy. You see that scripture about treasures and buried and earthen vessels? That was 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. But how about this? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. This part is diabolically schizophrenic. It's human holy, human holy, human holy, human holy. We get so wrapped up in the human, we forget about the holy. And that's why you don't invite people to church. Because you're too worried they've seen you screw up too many times. And you're worried they won't follow you. But it's not about you, human. It's about the holy that's on the inside of you. You see, the human says, we're hard-pressed on every side. The holy part says, yeah, but we're not crushed. The human part says, oh, we're perplexed. But the holy part says, yeah, but we're not in despair. The human part says, we're persecuted. And the holy part says, yeah, but not abandoned. The human part says, we're struck down. The holy part says, yeah, but not destroyed. Human holy, human holy, human holy, human holy. It's not about the container. It's about the
content.
And here's some good news. No matter what he's done through you, delivered you from, or how far he has taken you, he is not even halfway done with you yet. You are on a journey. You are going to be a blessing. You are going somewhere to prosper. You are going somewhere to help someone. You are going from level to level, from faith to faith, from victory to victory. The enemy tries to make Faith Church not have services for 6 Sundays out of 8. We say, not today, Satan. We just gonna move into Sunday night. We have this treasure in jars of clay. Say, fill me, Lord.
Fill me, Lord.
Say, flow through me, Lord.
Flow through me, Lord.
It's normal to look at the outside. I mean, 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, it says, men, look at the outward appearance. But the Lord, he looks at the heart. He knows what's in you. When you prayed that salvation prayer early, if you prayed it online, I hope you clicked that button so we know that you prayed the salvation prayer so we can be praying with you. When you pray that salvation prayer, we tell kids Jesus came in their heart, but technically it's not Jesus who, like the man person of Jesus, it is the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
And then the Holy Spirit dwells in you, but he isn't of you. You see, the treasure is in you, but it isn't of you. The anointing is in you, but the anointing isn't of you. The blessing is in you, but the blessing isn't of you. Why does that make any difference? Because we get to thinking that our container and our sin is so bad, it's going to seep into the contents, but that's not the way the system works. You see, the contents are so powerful, they seep out into the container, and that's the way the system works. You can't contaminate the contents, but the contents are trying to come out of you. You're the container. Look at your neighbor and say, you're one good-looking container. Now, if you just said that to somebody you're not married to, don't make it weird. All the power you need, it's on the inside of you. All the blessing that you need, it's on the inside of you. All the answers that you need, it's on the inside of you. All the provision that you need, it's on the inside of you. All the health that you need, it's on the inside of you. All the direction that you need, it's on the inside of you. All of the knowledge that you need, it's on the inside of you. It's all right here on the inside of you. Christ in you. Colossians 1:27. The hope of glory. Where's my hope? Oh, it's in you. Where's my peace? Oh, it's in you. I'd like to believe you, Pastor, but I mean, I feel empty. I feel so empty. Oh, I know a woman who was empty one time. Matter of fact, she was in 2 Kings 4. You see, there was this widow, and her husband died, and she had so much debt. She had these two sons, and they were coming to steal the two sons. They were going to take them and make the sons slaves to pay for her debt. So she goes to the man of God. Everybody say, the man of God. That's what they did back in the old days in the Old Testament. They didn't have access to God. They had to go through a man of God. So that was her way of going to God. But you live in the New Testament.
Well, what's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament?
Well, the difference is once Jesus was born, he died on the cross and he rose again. You're not under the law. Now you're under the dispensation of grace. Grace allows you to go through the veil, get straight to the Holy of Holies, and go to God yourself. So she went to the man of God. You can go right to God. And when she goes to the man of God, she says, hey, I got all these problems and there's not enough and I can't pay my bills and I can't do nothing. Oh, I got all these container problems. God, I need you to help me. And he says, what do you have in your house? She says, now this part's not written down. But in my mind, she says, well, I just told you what I got in my house. I don't have anything in my house. I'm totally busted. I'm broken. They're coming to take my kids. If I knew how to fix the problem, God, I wouldn't be talking to you. Gonna let that one soak in for a minute. But I don't know how to solve the problem, so I tell you I've got nothing, and what you ask me is what I have. God, that doesn't make sense. Your first clue that your answer is from the Lord is the fact that it doesn't make sense. Because if it made sense in the natural, you would have done it, but instead it's supernatural, so it doesn't make sense, so it's confusing to the container. That's why people who have never tithed don't understand. If I'm struggling living on the 100%, how in the world am I supposed to live on the 90%? I could never tithe. The container struggles with it, but all my tithers in the room are like, you ain't never been able to live like you can live on the 90%, because there's something that happens when you do the stuff that doesn't seem to make sense. We can't figure it out in our natural mind, because it's not the way the container operates, it's the way the contents operates. So here she is, and she says, well, yeah, I don't know what I have. You asked me what I have. She said, all I have all I have is this little jar, this little bit of oil. Left in just a little jar and a little bit of oil. Don't we always just press down what we have? No, all I have is a GED. I didn't even go to college. All I have is this stinky marriage where they're not even nice to me anyway. All I have is this stupid job. They don't value me. They don't give me opportunity. All I have is this little bit of ability to play the sport. Nobody's ever going to pay attention to me. We talk to everyone, including ourselves, about what we don't have. And I got a question. How's that working for you? You see, God's like, I told you I would never leave you. I told you I would never forsake you. And right now I think you're getting a picture of how that would happen because he's on the inside of you. So he can't depart from you. So that means even when we make the bad decision, God is there. And even when we don't have enough, God is there. And even when we're sick, God is there. And he's waiting for us to tap into the contents. Everybody say the contents. And he said, okay, here's what I want you to do. I think I have an empty jar down there, Audrey. He said, I want you to go and borrow empty vessels from everywhere. What? An empty vessel? Oh, you got a whole basket. Well, thank you very much. Go borrow empty vessels. Why do I need empty vessels if I don't have anything in the first place? You see, God didn't want the people to meet the need. He wanted to get the credit for it. So he didn't say, go try and get a quarter cup of oil from everybody. He didn't say, go get the scraps and live on scraps. He didn't say, you're going to have to live shopping at Goodwill for the rest of your life unless you're a vintage shopper like my daughter. He didn't say, live on what's left from everybody else. You see, he said, go get empty vessels. The great thing about empty vessels is emptiness is the optimal condition for being filled. It's okay. It's so good. I just wonder, when was the last time that what was on the inside of you was so great that it leaked on the outside of you, that you saw somebody that was empty and you're like, oh, you got to have what I'm having and you got to eat where I'm eating, so you got to go where I'm going, so I need you to go with me because you're empty. Empty, empty like what? Empty like that drug addict that you passed by that you hope didn't look at you because you didn't want them to ask you for money. They're an empty vessel. Why didn't you invite them to church? How about that person at work that you don't like? You know, the one that turns around and you show them a particular finger? You might not love them, but God loves them, and they're obviously empty. We forget that we were empty containers once upon a time, and we get upset with the fact that we were an empty container. But God loves empty containers. He said, go get empty containers. And he said, and bring me not a few. Oh, you see, I've already filled up my whole row at church, so oh, they reserve me a row now because we sit together. It's funny, y'all are laughing, but you ain't even got a row. Ooh, I was just sassy. Oh, I meant to be. You see, when she had an empty container, and once she gathered all she could, God said, now shut the door. I say God, it was through the man of God. And then he said, pour out the oil that you do have. And she said, I don't understand pouring out the oil out that I do have. He said, yeah, but if you'll just listen to me, just pour out the oil you do have, and then I can make amazing things happen. So she had to pour out the little she did have. Well, you see, I tithe, but I don't give because... I give, but I don't serve, because I give. Somebody else could. I mean, I've invited a couple people to church, but that's an... Oh, okay. I guess you don't care about all the empty vessels. And then what happens is we start to get a little bit empty. And you know, the empty vessels had to be there. She put one under there under the oil, and it filled up. She said, give me another one. And he put it under the oil. She said, give me another one. And she put a little under the oil. She said, give me another one. And they said, we don't have any more empty vessels. And when there were no more vessels, there was no more blessing. You see, the vessel has to be present. Turn to your neighbor right now and tell him, you're a vessel.
You're a vessel.
The vessel has to be present for the oil to fill it. That's why Johnny's soccer game is on Sunday morning. That's why boat season is so dangerous. Well, it's my only day off. I don't know how quiet it is online right now, but you should hear how quiet it got around here. If you laugh a little bit, everybody think I'm not talking to you. It's going to be awesome. You see, the devil tries to keep you out of church because he knows if he can get you empty, he can get you frustrated. And you'll be like, you know, I knew that girl got a miracle, and I know that other lady got a miracle, and I see the testimonies, but I think it's a bunch of bunk because it's just empty, and it ain't working, and it ain't true, so forget it. No, baby, it's because you're empty. And you got to bring the vessel to where the oil is being poured out so that you can get filled up. It's like, get ready to close. Getting filled up, Ashton, the other day, I had jury duty. It was such a blessing. And they gave us a lunch break, so I called Ashton, and I said, hey, Uber and meet me for lunch. I don't have time to come get you, but if you Uber and meet me, we can, like, spend 45 minutes together. So she got in the Uber, and she got there late. And I'm like, girl, what took so long? She's like, oh, my Uber driver, Mom. He said we were running out of gas, so we had to go to the gas station. She said, I'm a pretty 15-year-old girl. You're not stopping with me. Part of me was proud of her. The other part of me was like, if he got stuck on the side of the road with you, it would be so much worse than being at a gas station. You think, we get to thinking we're full enough. We got enough to make it. I mean, I don't got to go to Sunday night because, I mean, I'm watching online right now. I mean, I went to Saturday night. I've got enough to make it. And every time God wants to do more in us, we tell him how full we are, how enough we are. God, I already pray every day. Or God, you know, I have been tithing, so, or, you know, God, I really, if I'm going to tithe and give like this, I really need to work more so that I have more money to be able to give you, so I simply cannot serve. And I mean, God, they want me to be in an iConnect group, but I mean, seriously, what do you want from me? My life is full. It looks full, doesn't it? I mean, I guess it's full. But what if God wants to do more through you? I wonder if that's been our prayer, but it hasn't been our action because we've been trying to make it happen with the container instead of letting the contents have their way. Because remember, we said earlier, usually when it doesn't make sense, that's God. So God says, you know, I do have so much more for you. I have blessing for you. I have opportunity for you. I have ministry for you. I have peace for you. I have joy for you. I have fulfillment for you. But you just see, you can't see how to fit it in your life, but I'm pretty sure I can fit it in. Now, how many of you know, now that looks full? So we get to telling God, God, you know, I know they've got this growth track at church, and I'm sure that's for people who've never been to something like me. And you know, I could attend a small group, but I certainly can't lead a small group. I can't mentor anybody. I can't take that kind of time. And God's like, yeah, you know what? You're probably done. You're probably right. That's probably all that can fit for you with that attitude. Oh, you see, it gets quiet when you talk about what could be sometimes, but if I wanted you to get stuck where you were today and just leave you here, I wouldn't challenge you. But I don't want to leave you here. I want you to get everything that God has for you. I want you rid of the diabetes. I want the cholesterol to go down. I don't ever want you in a wheelchair. I want you blessed coming in and blessed going out, blessed rising down and blessed rising up. I want you to blessed in the city and blessed in the county and blessed in the state. And then we get to thinking, no, now it's really full. I mean, it's really full. Like, we're trying hard. She's making a mess. Those people are going to kill her. It's full. It's full. We get to thinking it's full. My life is full, Lord. I simply can't do it, not with these kids, not at this time, not with taking care of my mother, not with this job, not with the money that I need to make, not with the job I need to work. God's like, you know, the washing of the water or the word. I've got refreshing for you and so much more But what I really need from you is to just give me a space to let me pour it into you. And I can't possibly overflow you if you think that you're totally full without me. So if you want overflow in your life, you want overflow in your relationship, you want overflow with your children, you want overflow in your finances, you want overflow in your spirit, you want overflow in your ministry, you simply gotta quit telling God how full you are and how empty you feel. He said, I know why you feel empty, because I'm trying to fill you up, but you're resisting it. He said, I don't want to just fill you up. I want to fill you up to the overflow. I want to let it just come out every part of you. I want your life blessed. I want your children blessed. I want your legacy blessed. I want your car blessed. I want your job blessed. I want all of it blessed. But we're like, God, it doesn't fit. And he's like, I just want you to give me a try. Could be sitting here trying to catch somebody else's overflow. Oh, boy, this would be good. Oh, this could refresh me a little bit. I just need somebody else to overflow so I can just fill up. I need a mentor. I need a book. I need a self-help book. I need an audio book. God's got personal overflow for you. He's got personal overflow for you. And that's why I'm getting ready to pray for you, but I'm not going to pray for you until I give you an opportunity to allow the contents to flow through you so everybody can be seated. And online, don't you click off right now. Because the miracle isn't in, God bless me, do for me, help me. God's like, no, it's time for you to move. What have you done for God since this service started? Now is your opportunity. You see, that devil has been trying to shut down churches in this city. Because he knows if he can get his people separated, he can get them empty. And if he can get them empty, he can get them desperate. If he can get them desperate, he can get them dumb. And then we do dumb things. You know, your blessing, if you haven't been tithing regularly while the snow's been keeping you away, or the power outage that happened in this building last week, we had a burning bush experience. Like legitimately a tree caught on fire and fell on the power lines and took out the transformer. Literally burning bush. It's the enemy trying to get your finances empty. It's the enemy trying to get your provision empty. So online, I'm glad you're here. But I need you to be here. Come on. Sunday night. Because this is for what happened with Katie during the revival. She was in the hospital and she was catatonic with encephalitis and epilepsy. And she wasn't eating, she wasn't talking, she was catatonic. But the night of the revival happened and she couldn't come here because she was a children's hospital, so instead we came there online. And the next night we heard a prayer request from Katie's mom, so we prayed for Katie. Online. And the next day we got a video that we posted on our Instagram from Katie. She was catatonic one day, not knowing what's boggling the doctors. They had no idea how long she was going to be in the hospital because they couldn't figure out. And the next day she sends us a video walking herself out of Children's Hospital, talking and eating and moving and going and doing. That is what online is for. It's for those spaces, it's for those places, it's for those distances. But now, we're going to take our empty jar. You don't understand how empty my checkbook is. I'm not asking you to check in with me, I'm asking you to check in with your contents. And we're going to pray and we're going to ask God, God, what will you have me do? Because the devil's been trying to steal my worship time and the devil's been trying to steal my tithe because I haven't even had a chance to put it in the ground. And today we're going to break through all that. And I'm going to pray a breakthrough prayer just as soon as we sow. So go ahead and get those envelopes. They're in the chair in front of you. If you're in the front row, they're right here. If you're online, hit that giving button right now. It doesn't disconnect us. So you won't be missing a thing. You're going to be here. You're going to get the prayer. But go ahead and give online right now. Why are you talking so much to online? Because the snow. We can't rip them out of their blessing. We got to make sure that they get connected to it. And just like I find it ironic that in the Ali Hafad account that was told by Dr. Russell, who was with Temple University for years, because he actually experienced it. This was so many years ago. He actually experienced a tour guide who'd walked through it with him. And as he was there, it was a priest that came to the house and showed him the value of what they thought was invaluable. And that's what we're doing right now. We're taking something that you might not understand the process of, revealing it to you that is the contents that wants to reveal the process. And then we're going to break every chain of the enemy of keeping you empty. Are you ready to pray? Yes. So go ahead and hold up your tithe. Hold up your phone if you gave online or on text. If you're online, just hold your hands towards the screen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, we operate in the authority of the believer, which means we're seated at the right hand of Jesus. That we're standing in the throne room with access to you, not because we deserve it in our righteousness, but because Jesus died so that we could be in right standing. And since we're in right standing because of the blood of Jesus, we come boldly to the throne of grace. And we say, Father, in the name of Jesus, the jars have been empty, but we ask you to fill them. We stand in a position of surrender to be obedient, and the willing and obedient shall eat the good of the land. And the position of surrender is also the position of receiving. So I ask you to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that they cannot contain. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. If you believe God is a good God, just give him a shout of praise right now.
Thanks for joining us on our podcast today. We certainly hope it spoke to you in the same way it was speaking to us. If you enjoyed this message today, there's a few things I like to encourage you to do. First of all, subscribing to it. It's really easy to get these Faith Church sermons sent straight to your phone with a notification as soon as they're ready. I mean, you want that, right? Secondly, by sharing with a friend on social media, just like you might share a sale or some great restaurant, we're looking for you to share it with your friends. You never know in your network of friends who really needs this message today. And lastly, before you go, if you'll rate and review this on iTunes, it'll really help us expand our reach, help more people globally. Each time there's a positive rating, this really helps push us in front of more people. So that's what I want you to do. And if you live in the St. Louis area or West Palm Beach, come out and see us at our physical locations. If you don't, make sure you tune in to our church online. It's a real campus at faithchurch.com.